Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 263. This is the weekly podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community as we discuss the vital topics of saving our domestic flower farms and supporting a floral industry that relies on a safe, seasonal, and local supply of flowers and foliage. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. You may have noticed that Slow Flowers and the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, or ASCFG, have teamed up for the coming year to cross-promote and cross-sponsor each other's programming and marketing. Slow Flowers and ASCFG has partnered in smaller ways in the past, including my being invited to give a presentation at the 2012 conference in Tacoma, and I've supported fundraising efforts for the ASCFG Foundation. ASCFG has featured Slow Flowers in its popular publication, The Cut Flower Quarterly, and I featured ASCFG in my book, The 50 Mile Bouquet, and in past podcasts. Now, we've formalized this mutually beneficial relationship with a sponsorship agreement. This means that Slow Flowers is the media sponsor for the 2016 ASCFG conference. Dates are November 6th through 9th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And ASCFG has joined our awesome family of sponsors for slowflowers.com, the Slow Flowers Podcast, and American Flowers Week 2017. To kick off this partnership, I've invited two past guests of this podcast to return and share a preview of the upcoming ASCFG conference. Gretel and Steve Adams are owners of Sunny Meadows Flower Farm based in Columbus, Ohio. I met Steve and Gretel in 2010 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the first time any of us had attended a national ASCFG conference. They impressed me with how eager they were to learn from flower farmers who were more established than they were, and how naturally they seemed to soak up advice, lessons, and knowledge from their peers. A couple years later, I found myself lecturing and teaching in Cincinnati, and I called Steve and Gretel and invited myself for a visit, which meant driving a few hours to Columbus, where I enjoyed a fabulous Sunday morning touring Sunny Meadows Flower Farm and getting to know this couple better. When I invited Steve and Gretel to be guests on the Slow Flowers Podcast in January 2014, I described them as, quote, young flower farmers whose creativity and determination to earn a living from their land were inspiring. Our relationship inspired me to pitch a story about Sunny Meadows Flower Farm to my editor, James Baggett, at Country Gardens magazine. He said yes, and we met in Columbus two summers ago to work with the very gifted photographer, Chris Sada, to produce a story about Gretel and Steve. As we discuss in this episode, that article and Sunny Meadows Flower Farm's story has been very popular. Meredith Publishing, owner of Country Gardens and Better Homes and Gardens, has run our piece two subsequent times, including the recent appearance of Gretel and Steve on the cover of the premier issue of a magazine called Living the Country Life, and that came out in the spring-summer of 2016. Check out images and that story in our show notes at deborahprinzing.com, including the adorable cover photo of this couple. For this episode, I caught up with Steve and Gretel Adams via Skype, recording over Labor Day weekend, when they were giving themselves a rare day off. We previewed their three presentations scheduled for the ASCFG conference, including Gretel's participation on a panel called Wedding Designs from the Farm, which will also include Rita Anders of Cuts of Color in Weimar, Texas, and Jenny Love of Love and Fresh Flowers in Philadelphia, both past guests of the Slow Flowers Podcast. Steve and Gretel will also be part of a panel called Scaling Up the Farm with Heidi Joint of Field & Florist outside Chicago and Lenny Larkin of B-Side Farm in Sebastopol, California, also past guests of this podcast. Then you'll hear about the couple's one-hour presentation, Business, 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 which examines topics that flower farmers juggle besides growing great flowers. They will share how they keep their business going while dealing with crew, florists, grocery stores, suppliers, paperwork, weddings, and more, all while still liking each other at the end of the day. Please enjoy our conversation, which also catches us up on Sunny Meadows Flower Farm's 2016 growing season and more news about what Gretel and Steve are up to. You'll find the full ASCFG conference agenda at deborahprinzing.com, along with photos of Gretel and Steve and some of my favorite images from my visits to their farm. Welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, and I am so delighted to have return guests Steve Adams and Gretel Adams of Sunny Meadows Flower Farm in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Gretel. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
It's great to have you on the line. We're doing this over Skype, and probably more than 2 years ago, you were one of some of my first Skype guests, and we managed to make that work. When people first heard from you on the podcast, it's been over 2 years, and we're talking today about the upcoming ASCFG conference, which will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan in early November, and I'll have those dates at my show notes. I think it's November 6th through 9th or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Great. So first time I met you was in Oklahoma City, or inside in the Oklahoma area, maybe Tulsa, at the 2010 ASCFG conference. You were definitely the youngest people in the room, don't you think?
Yeah.
It was great. I was like, who are these young farmers? And they're here to like get into it with all the established, you know, veterans. It was really fun. And now 6 years later, you're like presenting at three sessions at ASCFG. I know you've been involved over the whole course since then, right?
Yeah. I mean, they asked us, I think, a few years ago to speak, and then it's just kind of grown from there. But, you know, we kind of feel like we are a product of the ASCFG, so it's cool to be able to give that back to people, you know, what we've learned from our mentors and how we've, like, kind of grown the business from that.
Yeah, you two are an example of people who really know how to get involved in an organization, because I think you give back as much as you take in, and the more relationships and mentors and sort of networking that you engaged in, it's really, really rich, rewarded you richly, it seems. And then now you're turning around and paying it forward with the next group of new farmers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're always kind of looking for more growers that we can gain inspiration from. And I mean, that's pretty much what we do whenever we go anywhere is visit a farm. So
I just said that about myself, Gretel.
Yeah.
Well, I do. I remember being in Cincinnati and calling you and saying, can I drive up to see you? And that must have been in 2013. And it was a couple hours away, and you let me come visit you. So
yeah,
I get it. Well, okay, let's talk about what you're going to present on at ASCFG. And I know there's a really full schedule, a lot, obviously keynote presentations that are for the full body of attendees, but then also these sort of topic-specific breakout sessions. And you're involved in three of those. I know the first one is going to be on Monday, Wedding Designs from the Farm. And Gretel, you're on that panel with two other farmer florists, Rita Anders of Cuts of Color in Texas, and Jenny Love of Love and Fresh Flowers in Philadelphia, both also past guests of this podcast. What are you going to tackle in that? You have like an hour, right? There's barely enough time to cover what you all know. What can people expect from that panel?
Well, we're going to start by just all kind of talking about what we do, like how the wedding part fits into our businesses specifically. And then our thought was to kind of have it be more audience guided, just based on, you know, the questions that we're getting will kind of give us an idea of the level of, you know, how deep we need to go or what specifically people want to know. So, you know, whether that's talking about specific like mechanics of installation, or if it's more about contracts or just kind of how to get into the wedding business or dealing with brides specifically. The door is kind of open about what exactly that panel will be about, just kind of based on what people want to hear.
So you're not going to be actually doing hands-on design You probably don't have time to do that, right?
Yeah, no hands-on design. This will just kind of be a panel question and answer thing. And since all three of us ladies kind of have different levels of, you know, how many weddings we do or the percentage of our business that is weddings, just to kind of give people an idea of how it might work for them and their business.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, the message to the listener is if you're going to attend the conference in Grand Rapids and you're interested in soaking up more knowledge from Gretel and her fellow panelists, come with questions so that you know what to ask, or, you know, just think about what you want to learn, because between this, as you said, Gretel, you all have sort of different models. Somebody's going to have an answer for a question that a farmer or a florist is dealing with as they try to dip into the wedding business.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Okay, so then on later that day, I think the next hour, geez, Gretel, you're not even going to have a coffee break between these two panels. You're going to pivot right to business, business, business. And Gretel and Steve, you're presenting together as the basically the team to talk about the business aspects of being flower farmers. So maybe, Steve, you jump in and tell us what you're hoping to cover and kind of introduce us some ideas that people may want to learn based on your business.
Yeah, we're really excited about this one. This is kind of like something we're really passionate about with our farm. And so with workers, a lot of people ask us about having employees or hiring people mm-hmm. for the first time. So we've had some experience with it, and we really try and grow as leaders with our farm employees. So we've done a lot of research on how we can better communicate what needs to happen that day, what the goals are, stuff like that. So we're going to really get into just communicating with employees and stuff with the business. And then we're going to talk a little bit about florist sales, grocery sales, stuff like that. So just kind of what has made our business successful is pretty much what we're going to be talking about. And it's pretty fun to share stuff like that because it really inspires people.
Absolutely. You probably soaked up those kinds of stories back in that at that first conference in 2010 where you just wanted to learn it, everybody's experience.
Yeah, and I still do. Like, that's, you know, like when we do visit with these other farms and stuff, it's neat to see, you know, different things in the greenhouse, how they're operating. But then, like, you sit down and you kind of talk about, you know, how many people are you hiring? How do you divvy that up? How do you keep seasonal people coming back, you know, or make it so you can have one or two people year round? So a lot of that stuff, I still really like, there's still a lot to learn, you know?
Mm-hmm. Will you have a Q&A during this panel? Because it's also only an hour.
Yeah.
This will probably be more us talking about stuff, but then there'll be like room for questions at the mm-hmm. end, but that's kind of a lot of information to try to like cram in. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, the goal, I think, is to just kind of introduce the topic and give people sort of an overview, and then there'll be all these sort of offline conversations that happen mm-hmm. while you're waiting in line for lunch or when you're jumping on the bus. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to just have these structured, unscheduled conversations when you're at a conference like this, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we learn just as much from the conversations that you have outside of the classes and networking and talking to people about their farms and their systems and stuff like that. So we're all learning from each other.
Well, I read the description of this business session, and I'll put it on my show. I'll put the whole schedule of ASCFG's presentations on my show notes at deborahprinzing.com. But I like the way it ends, which lists all the things that you have to do to keep your business going, dealing with external and internal, you know, connections, whether it's employees or customers. And then it says, all while still liking each other at the end of the day. Did you guys write that?
Yeah. Well, I think that maybe the Dave Dowling suggested the description, and we were like, yep, that sounds great. So, I mean, just because communication is such a big part of what we do, you know, it's like you have to realize that you're on the same team in order to like get stuff accomplished. So
Yeah. You have a unique situation too. I'm lucky that I've gotten to visit your firm a couple times, and it's so intense. You do live and work and farm at the same, you know, within a few yards of each other. And so it's just you've got to fiercely protect your personal lives, or you would just lose it. You just become slaves to the farm. So I think people will be inspired by hearing a little bit about how you can laugh and have fun too.
Yeah. It's all about how we handle our stress, you know?
Okay, well, that's great. And since I'm talking with you in the very beginning of September, your farming season isn't over yet, so I'm sure you're up to your ears in it. And so thanks for taking this time on Sunday to talk, because you're probably just, I don't know, you even giving yourself a day off this holiday weekend?
Today, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll make this quick then and let you go on to your...
No, you're
your
rest fine. Of
I mean, thank you for having us and us for doing this. We're happy to be on, so...
Okay, cool. Okay, so then on Tuesday, November 8th, there's this really great topic called Scaling Up the Farm. You're going to both be on this panel with Heidi Joint of Field and Florist, who I love, and Lenny Larkin of B-Side Farm, another person I love, both of whom have been on the podcast. And you all are kind of going to have a different point of view on taking your farm to the next level, I'm guessing. Is that sort of what the main topic is how to take the next steps to grow your business?
Yeah, so kind of taking it beyond, like, you know, how do I get started? And it's kind of like, okay, now that I've started, like, now what do I do? And so this is another, like, panel discussion that will be... you know, we'll be able to be guided also by the questions that people ask. Since all of our businesses are different for the people that are on the panel, and kind of what we found were important things in our scaling up process.
That's going to be great. And I do love that you're kind of, you're in Ohio, Heidi's in Illinois, Lenny's in California, you're all kind of in different market hubs as well. So that certainly factors into those decisions about how to scale.
Yeah, and I think I know Heidi scaled up to a different farm this year also, so as well as us. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what we've all learned in that first year of scaling up.
Yeah, you'll learn from each other as much as the audience will learn from you.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, before we started recording, Gretel, you made a really interesting comment about how you both feel that you're kind of products of ASCFG. How has that relationship gone for you as, you know, young small business owners who kind of maybe felt isolated in your own market, and then you somehow stumbled across this organization that has been kind of the defining influence on your professional lives? How did that all happen?
Well, when we first approached Whole Foods, they put us in contact with Dave Dowling and said that, you know, you should contact him and talk about UPCs and like that kind of stuff. And then we read the Aronofsky stuff and Growing for Market. So like we knew that we were looking for experienced growers, being first generation farmers, people that could, you know, help guide us through the process. So the ASCFG was a great place for us to find all of those mentors. And as our business continues to grow, like, you know, there's still people that we meet for the first time each time we go to a conference that we're, you know, gaining inspiration from. Some of our mentors have become like really good friends. So, we've learned a lot. We're just open to learning from anybody at any time, just kind of like a sponge, you know, soak up as much information as we can, because there's a lot of people out there that they can talk about crops or the business or, you know, climate, anything that like whatever affects the farm. Mechanical cultivation was a big thing for us this year because we were expanding to the other farm and trying to figure out what kind of equipment we needed in order to accomplish that. So having people you can call and ask questions makes a really big difference.
It's priceless. Yeah. It sounds like it's just having your own kind of consulting group available. And I guess what I alluded to earlier is that you reciprocate because people come to you for questions too. And so it's just kind of interesting that there's, you know, maturity of farms as you go up into the more established farm. Now younger or newer first generation farmers are looking to you while you're still hoping to learn from the people who are ahead of you. So the conference is a good time to stop farming, come together, and have a few days to just, it's almost like your annual meeting. You know, this is our way to get charged up for the next season.
Yeah. I think going back to us reaching out, I think we're really good at reaching out to people to learn from, you know. I think putting ourselves out there, and then I think they see the passion that we have for what we're doing. So it just opens up the communication really well.
I remember that, Steve, when we talked last time, you had a kind of a list of people that you were hoping to get to visit during your off season, and you kind of keep your eye on farms that you want to learn from or emulate. And you're not, you guys jump on an airplane if you have to and go visit people, right?
Yeah, we went out, we were in Oregon last winter. So we saw Peter Kaur and Charles Little,
oh, I didn't know that.
And Oregon Coastal, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Should have gotten you up to Seattle. That's cool.
Yeah.
And the year before that, we went out to the Fresh Herb Company in Colorado and visited with Chet, and it was great. So
yeah, we were. I was just there, and we were talking about your visit and how much that meant to them. I mean, they kind of see themselves as, look at you and think that's, they used to be you guys. They used to be the new farmers, and now they're you know, people are learning from them, and they're sharing a lot of knowledge. Well, that's good. I'm glad we touched on that, because I think that's sort of hard to quantify, those relationships. Basically, when you show up and make yourself open and available to those conversations, that's really when cool things you can't even expect will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before I let you go, you've both alluded to new land. So tell me what's going on with, I thought you had a lot of land at Sunny Meadows. So what, you wanted more?
So, yeah, I mean, the idea was, we were at a conference, and Ben Shoot from Hardy Roots was talking about being on rented land. I think he had to leave, or something along the line. So he wanted to get something a little more permanent. So where we are, we have 1.5 acres of tillable land on our farm that we own, plus our greenhouses and woodies. But we're limited to 1.5 acres. And we also rent 2 acres that is adjacent to our property. But that was rented land. So we're only about 4 acres, something like that, 3.5, 4 acres. And we were growing really intensively. Not really getting the cover crop programs that I wanted to have happen. So the idea was, we wanted to be find some land that we could grow on that we owned. And we really struggled with finding land that was in our price range around here.
And just describe it, where you are in Columbus, because you're within, what, 6 miles of downtown Columbus or something like that?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
So are you competing with like suburban residential developments for land? I mean, it's got to be tough.
That's what, like, any place that we found was like zoned for commercial development, pretty much.
So it's more commercial, you know. It's like, we're kind of in a warehouse side of town, you know. But so we reached out to a company called Decker's Nursery, which is where we buy a lot of our woodies from, and they're about 10 minutes up the road. And he offered us 8 acres there. So it makes it a total of 10 acres that we have tillable.
Wow.
We got a long-term lease. So the idea for us to grow on half and rest half every year, so we can have a good rotation. So we'll be doing cover crops on 5 acres of, you know, different grasses and legumes to feed the soil and add organic matter. And then we're bounced back into that and grow stuff. So that'll hopefully help with weed control. It'll make life a little easier. The other farm is more, we just kind of go there and harvest or do field work and get out. It's pretty efficient. You know, there's not a lot of hanging around out there, where then we can come back here, process flowers, and do all that. So
do your design work and your production work and all at at your home farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this, like, if we planted on all of it, it would, you know, almost triple production. But this year we decided, like, let's just try to go for about double and see what happens. I mean, we weren't sure what the weed pressure was going to be like, or, I mean, we got soil tests done and the soil was good, but, you know, we weren't sure how certain flowers were going to grow over there, and we had to figure out new irrigation systems and stuff, so... But it's been good. I mean, we've still been selling everything we can produce. So that's great.
Wow. That is so cool. So this will be covered in your scaling up and your business presentations, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Just how you're meeting demand by having to expand what you plant and then trying to keep that sustainable by rotating the crops. I think that's a really good point. I hadn't thought about the fact that up until this year, you really didn't have the luxury of rotating crops or doing these sort of off, you know, these sort of cover crop seasons, because you were at capacity practically, right?
Yeah. I mean, we tried to like fit it in when we could, if we knew we had some time between crops, or we would cover crop like over the winter, but there wasn't anything that we could leave kind of long term. So this we can like cover crop and, you know, leave it there for a year or so, and let it kind of, you know, let the clover do its job. So
enrich the soil. What is the fact that you're leasing from what it sounds like an ornamental landscape plant nursery. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And it's been a great relationship too, because like there's stuff, you know, we've been cutting some of his hydrangeas that they grow, like, since they're doing stuff for more propagation material, like, they don't need some of the plants that flower. They're just going to cut that back and get the vegetative growth. So we're continuing to work on that partnership as well. Like, what else can I cut that they grow?
That's phenomenal, Gretel. How cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about it. I feel like a kid in a candy shop when I go over there, so...
It's almost like you're foraging, but at an ornamental nursery.
Yeah.
Right, foraging through these perfectly clean rows. It's the way of foraging.
Yeah, I love that kind of foraging, and no thorns.
No.
I want to go back just to one question that I have, just so, because I'm not a farmer, but you mentioned something about weed pressure and that this new expansion is going to help on that. Explain why. I don't quite understand that.
So like, for instance, certain crops like our dahlias, right? They're in for a long time. We plant those in May and they're in through October. So like, if I know where I'm going to be planting my dahlias next year, this year, I can go in there and till the beds, you know, 3 or 4 times every other week. So 3 or 4 times total, kill all those weeds, put down a heavy cover crop with some a legume in it also for nitrogen, and then let that grow. So then in that whole field, I'm not having any weeds go to seed. So I'm killing all the spring weeds by my shallow tills. And then I'm going through and killing the summer weeds by suppressing them pretty much.
Got it.
So it's more of a thinking a year ahead, you know. We learn a lot from vegetable growers, and they know where they're going to be planting their garlic and certain crop, their tomatoes, the next year. So they are preparing the soil for that.
That's brilliant. So that field that you just described, you're getting it ready this summer to plant dahlias in it next summer, and then there'll be a lot less of competition from weeds, and so therefore it'll be just an easier area to farm in, and you won't have to spend so much money on labor just to fight weeds.
Yeah, and we're kind of getting it figured out through our tillage, our cultivation, and hoeing. The first couple fields we planted over at the new farm were pretty weedy, and we did have to hand weed those. However, since those early beds went in, they weren't prepared very well. We've been able to eliminate hand weeding on that farm since beginning of July, maybe.
Wow, that's great.
So, you know, that's one of those jobs that just takes so long to do that we try and eliminate it through cultivation and hoeing.
And we just wrote an article about that in Growing for Market, too, about the mechanical cultivation practices that we have.
Oh, so I saw that. I was in Colorado at Zephyros Farm, and they had it on their kitchen table. Cool. And we all talked about you.
Hopefully good things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's great. Well, maybe what I'll do is put a link to Growing for Market in case people aren't subscribing. You can get the online version is very affordable, and then people can start reading what you're – is that quarterly, Gretel, or is that every – how often
it's
is
monthly,
that?
It's monthly. It's 10 months a year, so they take they take a couple months break. And I am kind of passing on the torch. Well, I'll be writing less often now so that other people can get in there and write some articles too. So I won't be writing every article like I was for the past couple years, but – we'll kind of just be doing, you know, a few a year. That way I can have some time to focus on farming and stuff.
So, yeah. Well, and like you said, you let other people have their voices in that forum as well.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I just have to brag on you because 2 years ago we worked on a story together for Country Gardens. And now that beautiful story with our crazy editor, James Baggett, has now shown up in two other publications that Meredith owns, including you being the cover boy and girl for their redesigned Living the Country Life. And I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And none of us knew it was coming. This came out of nowhere. Yeah. Were you shocked when you showed up on a newsstand?
Yeah. It was pretty great. And then we've had people, you know, from all over the country, you say like, oh, I saw you on a magazine, like when I was in Florida or when I was in Portland or something. And you're just like, wow, like because when we're in Country Gardens, we were on the cover, so this was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I saw our editor James, who of course was with us when we shot that story. Which is rare; he doesn't usually come to photo shoots, and I saw him in June in Portland, and he opened his satchel and whipped it out and handed it to me. And he goes, look who's on the cover. So.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I mean, seeing what kind of someone else's perspective of the farm, and it was beautiful photography and great story. So we were really excited.
Yes. It was a joy to write. Well, you know what? I'll put a link to that on our show notes because it'll be fun for people to see that piece if they haven't, over the course of 3 years, seen it pop up in other publications. So that was fun. Well, I look forward to seeing you both in Grand Rapids. And are you flying or driving?
We're driving.
Wow. How long is that going to take?
I don't know. I think like 4 or 6 hours. So.
Oh, that's not bad.
We're going to visit. There's a girl that worked for us that we're really close with that started a farm in Tiffin that we're going to go visit, I think, and maybe try and stop at a couple other places.
Of course you are.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening in Michigan. So maybe we'll take a day just to like kick it and do something, but.
Oh, that's great. You need it. Yeah. It's not exactly a warm climate vacation, but, you know.
But Michigan's beautiful, so.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you both there. Thank you so much for sharing kind of an update on what's going on with Sunny Meadows. And I love your work. I love what you're doing. And I'm really impressed that you're so willing to share generously, you know, at the conference level so that people from all over the country can kind of just get a little introduction to maybe ideas that they can employ when they go home. So
yeah, well, thank you for having us, and we're excited to see you too.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. And we'll share all your links and social places on the show notes so that if someone listening to this does not know who you are, which I can't even believe, they now know that they can find a lot of inspiration from Steve Adams and Gretel Adams of Sunny Meadows Flower Farm. So thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for joining today's conversation. I look forward to seeing many of you in early November at the ASCFG conference in Grand Rapids.
ASCFG recently announced that the Sunday, November 6th Growers School is sold out, as is the Wednesday, November 9th tour day due to space limitations. However, you can still attend the full 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, of speaker sessions, the trade show, the banquet, and the auction. Follow a link at deborahprinzing.com to check out registration rates, hotel information, and other details of the ASCFG conference. The Slow Flowers podcast has been downloaded more than 118,000 times by listeners like you. Thank you to each one of you for downloading, listening, commenting, and sharing. It means so much. Thank you to our lead sponsor for 2016, Certified American Grown Flowers. The Certified American Grown program and label provide a guarantee for designers and consumers on the source of their flowers. Take pride in your flowers and buy with confidence. Ask for Certified American Grown Flowers. To learn more, visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org. More sponsor thanks goes to Syndicate Sales, an American manufacturer of vases and accessories for the professional florist. Look for the American flag icon to find Syndicate's USA-made products and join the Syndicate Stars loyalty program at syndicatesales.com. A big bouquet of thanks goes to Longfield Gardens, providing home gardeners with high-quality flower bulbs and perennials. Their online store offers plants for every region and every season, from tulips and daffodils to dahlias, caladiums, and amaryllis. Visit them at lfgardens.com. A fond thank you to Arctic Alaska Peonies, a cooperative of 50 family farms in the heart of Alaska, providing high-quality, American-grown peony flowers during the months of July and August. Visit them today at arcticalaskapeonies.com. And finally, thank you to the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers. Formed in 1988, ASCFG was created to educate, unite, and support commercial cut flower growers. Its mission is to help growers produce high-quality floral material and to foster and promote the local availability of that product. Learn more at ascfg.org. Next week, you're invited to join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging on to iTunes and posting a listener review. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew and Hannah Brenlin. Learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.